Hi guys, you're listening to CNBC TV18's Young Turks first ever podcast. CNBC TV18's Young Turks is India's longest running show on startups, and since 2002, week over week, we've been putting the spotlight on young entrepreneurs who have been pushing the boundaries to build innovative and sustainable businesses. Most of you who have taken the plunge know that an entrepreneur needs more than just a good idea, timing, or even money. Sometimes to turn an innovative business idea into reality, one needs guidance. So over the years, we have put together multiple tutorials with the who's who of the startup world and corporate India via our Young Turks Mentor platform. And now, through our brand new series, the Young Turks Masterclass, we are taking this a step further and expanding the range of mentorship. In our inaugural season of YT Masterclass, we have joined hands with Matrix Partners India, part of the Boston-based venture capital firm that manages $4 billion in assets across the United States, China, and India. Matrix Partners India was founded in 2006 by founder of Bazi.com, Avnish Bajaj. With a focus on startups in the consumer tech, B2B, enterprise, and the fintech space, Matrix Partners India has $700 million under management. Over the years, the founder first philosophy has come to define their approach to investment and managing their portfolio of startups, which include Ola Cabs, Practo, Quicker, Cloud9, Daily Hunt, LimeRoad, and M-Swipe. So on this podcast, we bring you the story of Manish Patel's M-Swipe, a maker of point of sale or POS machines for merchants. M-Swipe has deployed a network of 280,000 POS terminals in India across 650 towns and cities since its inception in 2011. Apart from mobile POS devices, the company also has a payment gateway for processing payments online and an automated payment settlement system for merchants. The venture has raised $65 million to date, but its first check came from Matrix Partners India back in 2013. Today, Manish Patel is in conversation with Matrix Partner India's MD, Vikram Vaidyanathan. Now, you may have heard of several stories on how a startup has chased an investor in order to raise funds. But today, we're about to tell you a story of how an investor hounded an entrepreneur to cut the check and bring him on board as a portfolio company. To tell us more about this hounding and if it worked or not, we have with us Vikram Vaidyanathan, Managing Director, Matrix Partners India. And to tell us the founder's side of the tale is our young Turk, Manish Patel, founder and CEO at M-Swipe Technologies, one of the largest independent mobile point of service merchant and acquirer and network providers. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us on CNBC TV18's Young Turks. Vikram, did I tell the story of how the two of you met correctly?
Yeah, I think you left out the amount of perseverance it needed to get it.
Okay.
And the amount of time it needed to get into his office. So I was looking at the mobile POS space, and it was an early interesting space, and I'd met everyone in the ecosystem.
Hmm.
We didn't connect with the founders that we were meeting, and everyone, the banks, they all told me about this company called M-Swipe. And then I went on the website, I mailed the guy, nobody responded. I went to his warehouse, and he was a successful entrepreneur who had another business. I couldn't get a meeting with him. And then I finally figured out a friend of mine had his number, and I texted him at like God knows what time in the night. And then he said, you know what, you're just everywhere. I want to give you this meeting. And he had a very low opinion of investors, he still does.
Which we will get to in just a second, why that is the case.
And he said, come on Sunday, because he expected me not to work on Sunday. And I ended up going and doing this meeting over coffee on Sunday. And that's how it started, and that's how he gave me that meeting.
Yep.
So two questions here. Firstly, you know, we're talking about a time when fintech was still restricted to wallets, and everyone thought that's going to be the next big thing, which is true to some extent.
Yep.
But you said you were meeting a lot of POS-based companies that were looking at making real devices. So what made you go after M-Swipe? So, or what made you go after Manish, who's not even from this space or as you guys were just talking offline, not engineer by education.
Honestly, that's exactly what made us want to go after Manish, which is that he's not from the space. He was looking at this completely de novo. He's a doctor by education, ended up as a alcobev distributor, and he was looking at merchants and technology in such a first principles way, mm-hmm. that's what we connected with. So he was looking at how is this technology useful, and then how are merchants using this technology, and focused on that and nothing else.
Mm-hmm. I really, kind of started getting interested in Vikram's story because he'd gone down an entrepreneur journey to an extent, and he's an engineer. And, I thought, yes, at least, we'll get an engineer to understand what we're really trying to do.
So very weird style of recruitment, I must say. to look at an investor who's also an engineer.
Now that I remember the first 30 minutes of that meeting, he was quizzing me on what I had done on embedded system. It was not a quiz, but it was
conversation.
It was what do you know? Yeah. And
but there's more to this first meeting, right? Talk to us about that amazing Sunday that you actually had to spend with your wife, but you ended up meeting Manish in a mall and sat with him for how long?
Yeah. A couple hours.
Yeah. Couple of hours.
Yeah. So in fact, it was bizarre because I really thought that he wouldn't take the meeting, but he did. And the last thing I expected was him to land up with his wife. And I was feeling quite bad because, he'd send his wife on a little shopping errand and, the phone would keep, there would be these pauses where Vikram would message and I could kind of, figure out that his wife was getting anxious because she was just circling the mall.
A running joke in the family, I've kept her waiting many times. This is the only time that she says it was worth it. Every other time he's like, this is not worth it.
All right, so, but honored. We briefly spoke about the fact that you had this never will I ever raise funds attitude.
Because,
why is that?
I was working with a company that had taken a lot of venture financing. Mm-hmm. Any business goes through sudden ups and downs. Mm. And when the going was good, the investors were all backing. And when the tide turned a little.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
This was during the financial meltdown, mm-hmm. Between 2008, 2010. And since I was in the alcobev space, this company was actually producing alcoholic beverages. And when things started going south for a while, and it was industry-wide, it wasn't particularly for this one company. And it was bizarre to hear investors wanting to change course of the company and mm-hmm. asking them to get into FMCG products or things like that, just to use their distribution network and defocus out of their core business and start doing something else. So what I really learned from that experience was that it was extremely important. I mean, look, you need investors, but finding the right investor is extremely important.
So if you were to draw some parallels from that experience to now, what are the three major differences from then and now?
I think I'll give you one.
And okay,
I think
give me one.
Should be. So, when we started MSwipe and I started working on this project sometime, early 2011, and it took us about 18 odd months to get, our first product to market, which was a swiper that you could plug into the audio jack of a phone and together it could work as a POS terminal. And of course, we'd raised our Series A, round of funding, and we'd pretty much, gone through burned through most of that cash. And, early 2013, the RBI, just out of the blue came out with a regulation that mandated all acquirers in the country move their acquiring infrastructure to chip and pin. Hmm. And what that really meant is...
Swiper was no longer relevant.
No longer relevant. In fact, we had acquired 40,000 merchants in our first quarter. Mm-hmm. We were really, really happy. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we had to literally go back to the drawing board. Spend a bunch of cash, learn new technologies, let go of all our existing customers. Mm-hmm. And guess what? At that point in time, I went calling to my investors. I met Vikram. One of the first times I had to actually prep for a meeting. I'm going to go to my investor and tell him, listen, we need to raise more money. We need to build a new product.
This was when you had to hound him.
I didn't actually. I was all prepared to hound him. But I was surprised where Vikram says, yeah, fantastic, not a problem.
Okay.
As long as, you work out a plan.
Did you know what you were cutting the check for?
He didn't. I didn't.
The honest answer is that the first check that we cut was for Manish, and the second check was also for Manish. And it was actually his way of looking at merchants and how focused he was on getting the right service to them. And we truly believe that that's the only way that you can build a large base of merchants in this country.
So I'd like to deep dive into this, what you just said, and this pretty much is what Founders First philosophy that Matrix always teaches and preaches about. Talk to us about that. When you say that you were betting on Manish over M-Swipe, what does that exactly mean?
Manish is a serial entrepreneur. He had made a bunch of money in life. It was not that he was going to do this for money. He was doing this for legacy and impact. And I think that motivation was really important to us. I think the second was, and he talks about this a lot, is he was very focused on that India, to do this for these Kirana shop merchants, you need to be the lowest cost. Mm. And even the first product, which we had to roll back, he was so focused on getting that cost down. Mm. He refused to launch, like, I remember the first, like, four or five versions of the product. Mm. Thank God, even though we were pushing him to launch that version and get something out, he was like, no, I'm not going to launch it till I get to the right cost and the right specs. And once you've experienced that with the with a founder, you took that early bet, it's a much easier bet to take to for him to repeat it again. Mm. Right? It was a setback. Honestly, the second bet was easier because you already know what he's going to do with that money.
Apart from the disagreement that you had on the, you know, the prototypes.
That was not the first.
That was
the
not
last,
the first.
Or the last. Let's
tell
be clear.
Tell us more of what happens in case of a... Tell us one of the biggest disagreements that you've had.
You know, this product one is... Yeah. I've always been the conservative one on the product one.
So. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so product is has been one. You know, Vikram feels we obsess too much over... irrelevant things,
like
you know, how the product actually looks. You know,
the design.
We go through the the design needs to be perfect.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it also has to.
You find that irrelevant?
No.
I don't find it irrelevant.
We've looked at the M many times. Just okay. The M of M5, we've looked at
yes,
it like many times.
Yeah, because
but I think that's what makes him unique, right? The fact that he wants to get it that perfect, and that's why I think the versions of product we've put out are 10x better than the rest.
Yeah, so you know, Vikram comes from the point of view that we should really expand the market fast, and what that really means is we should probably reduce prices, you know, experiment with giving away terminals free, and I come from a slightly older school of thought. I think merchants will only value and use our products and services if they really have skin in the game, right? Mm. And that works for everyone; it's universal.
Mm. See, our partnership with Founders is also Founders First, because with each partner it's unique. Because I know with Manish, he's never going to lose us money. He's going to be profitable. And therefore, my role as his partner is actually to push him on growth and expand his way of thinking on other things. With others who are giving away money, then I'm like holding, reining them back, saying, guys, no, let's focus on profitability.
How do you guys settle a disagreement?
For us, it's a very easy answer. You know, Manish knows this, we disagree strongly in private with data, and I'll keep going at him. And at some point of time, when I think that he's thought about it enough, it's his decision. It's his company, it's his time and life on the line. He deserves to make that decision, and that's how we think.
All right, so before I cut into a break, we'll do a quick takeaway for an investor and for an entrepreneur. So, Vikram, let me ask you, as an investor, what is it that you need to look for when you're investing in a startup?
So a founder who's deeply passionate about a problem, and that needs to be a large, massive problem. And looking at that problem in a very different way than the others. And finally, some grit and perseverance. If you don't have that, I don't think you can last through the bad times.
So all about the founder.
Yep.
All right. And as an entrepreneur, what should you look for in an investor?
Number one is, you know, getting an investor on board, while in my mind is always getting a partner.
Hmm.
Right. So you need to work with this person or group of people.
Yeah.
At least for for half a decade. And it's pretty much like getting into a marriage. Yeah? You know, you need to really, really evaluate that very, very carefully.
It is pretty much like a marriage where you're fighting in private and putting a pretty face in public. So Manish, as an entrepreneur, you were trying to experiment and get into building out a new business, but at the same time, you were also building out a new market for yourself, right? Share with us in this masterclass, what according to you have been your top five commandments?
The first thing that's very, very important in my view is you need to be solving a problem.
Okay.
Because unless you do that, I think, that's where it all starts.
So identifying a problem, how did you identify yours?
I was in the Alcobev business before this, and I put up a chain of wine, specialty wine and beer retail stores, mm-hmm. Called Sante Retail, right? And I requested my banker for 15 years to give me a POS terminal. I was shocked when Union Bank of India said that they didn't even provide that as a service. Mm-hmm. I spoke to the current bankers that actually did provide this as a service, and the pitch from all of them was the same. They were clearly not selling a service to merchants. They were really selling a banking account to me, and that was not what my interest was. I already had a banker at that point in time. The number of cards in circulation about 400 million, mm-hmm. and we had just about 1.5 million terminals in the country. Mm. At that point in time, Brazil and Turkey had more terminals than India.
Yeah, and that's a million terminals.
Something like that. Yeah. All said and done, from every metric that I looked at, whether it was cards to terminals, population to
this was a problem.
This was a problem. Yeah. Right? Acceptance of cards was a problem.
And so for us, founders who experience a pain point themselves, uh-huh. usually end up solving that problem in a very unique way,
because they're more passionate about
it. It is their problem.
And
that experiencing that problem, we call it experiential entrepreneurs.
I just decided to take the plunge and see what we could do to solve the problem. And it all started with putting together a solution. And that is the second commandment, right? That you need a solution. That is the right price, the right quality, and it's simple.
So cost, would that be the...?
Cost is always the driving factor in a market like India. We're a very, very value-conscious country, okay? So for us, trying to get the best and the lowest price for everything is I guess, who we are.
It was not just the cost of hardware, but we really focused on the cost to serve. Mm. And what does it take for this guy to go and get it there? Mm. And the fact that I think we were the lowest cost by far in terms of just installing the terminal, and that helped us install more terminals. So if for 100 rupees, somebody installed X terminals, we would install 4 to 5 X terminals.
One thing we're talking about all the time, right? How you manage to get your costs down, but you maintain quality and yet remained profitable. And since this is a masterclass, give us an insight on how you managed to do that. And what was it that the other guys could not figure out, or why is it that they were not able to bring costs down?
It's because I don't think any of our competitors are focused on the core problem, which is providing a viable and useful service for merchants. Mm. Merchants are willing to pay for it. So at the end of the day, the product that we have is a means to deliver our service.
Right.
And hence that cost has to be low. And the cost of our service has to be competitive.
Correct.
And that is essentially what we've really focused on.
So how did you do that?
Having observed Manish versus other founders, both in our portfolio and outside, I think it's actually the power of saying no. And I've seen Manish say no very firmly. And it is no to somebody who makes a lazy sales plan.
Yeah.
It's no to a hardware guy who says that this is the price. It's no to someone who says that this is the amount of discount you need. He just keeps saying no, and it's a mindset. And I think over a period of time, I've seen the rest of his team imbibe that mindset.
Now, before that, number three is you need the right partner.
Uh-huh.
And the right partner in you need capital for business. And so the third commandment is find the right partner, right?
Stroke investor?
Yes. In my mind, investor is your partner.
Okay.
So yes, find the right investor. The fourth one is, you need A-class team. You need the best guys on your side. And that is hard. It's hard to win some of the best guys over.
Yeah.
It's hard to retain them.
When you need to know the art of saying yes to a lot of things that they ask for.
No, surprisingly, you have to say no to them as well.
What is it that is unique about your team, especially considering that you were trying to build something in a market that practically did not exist?
What we've done consciously is also invest in young people. Because and this is my personal experience. I've failed many times when we've hired from industry, or we've hired slightly more experienced people, but unfortunately that experience comes with gravitated ways of doing things and thinking. And then you have a couple of experienced hands to kind of guide them, right? That doesn't mean it's always been good for us. Some of my biggest mistakes have been, wrong hires. It puts you back, a few quarters.
So we've gone over four,
yep.
right? And what's the fifth?
The fifth one is, you need to have a medium term to a long term horizon, especially in the industry that we're in. Unless you're focused on exactly what you want to achieve, have a medium term goal and an outlook more than a goal, and are very cognizant of, there's always going to be a lot of noise in this. You see a lot of noise in this industry, but you have to kind of stay focused on executing, the core plan that you've built.
If Manish sets a plan, he will always hit that plan. And I think for us, founders who hit plan are founders who succeed. And I always know that he's also hidden away some money in the plan, in the business plan, which is for long term. And it will be for the R&D, for the labs. It will be. He'll have these buffers built in.
Yeah.
And now I know they're there, and that's fantastic. So some of our best conversations are over dinner, where we don't talk about the business at all, and we're talking blue sky on if we had to start this company all over again, what would it look like?
Yeah.
And some of that blue sky is the long term. Mm-hmm. And then he's got that money hidden away to keep experimenting.
You sound like a proud parent. Since I've called you a proud parent, let me also quickly ask you, do you tend to micromanage or do you tend to completely let go and trust?
Let me answer that.
I want to know what he thinks he is, and then I'll get your take. What do you think? What kind of investor are you?
I think on certain things, I can get more detailed than people would like. Let me just say that. But I pick a few things.
Vikram is far from micro, from an interference perspective, right?
Yeah.
I guess that was the question. As an entrepreneur, sometimes you kind of, you're so deep in what you're doing, you don't really take your head off and look what's happening around. And he very clearly understands what the ground level plan is, but has a 30,000 feet view of what's happening. And many times, the early warning kind of alarms that Vikram can raise helps us a hell of a lot.
So I should keep calling you at 11 p.m.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and the kind of equation that the two of you share, we hope every entrepreneur and investor ends up sharing for a fruitful relationship in the startup ecosystem. Thank you so much for being with us in our studios today.
On that note, it's a wrap on our first ever podcast. But we will be back with more such conversations in our series, Young Turks Masterclass. So keep listening to this space.